Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's time now for our weekly gathering. I'm joined by Brenda Power, Irish Daily Mail and Sunday Times columnist, Colin Brophy, Minister of State for Overseas Development, Aid and Diaspora, Fine Gael TD also for Dublin South West, Elaine Loughlin, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, and Éan O'Riordan, Labour Party spokesperson education and also TD for Dublin Bay North. So, Leaving Cert results, CAO frustration, thousands of children out of school due to COVID, but once again, political controversy dominated the agenda this week.
It has been a Fine Gael omni-shambles.
The first thing I want to do is to apologise.
It's in perspective. Special envoys have been appointed for years. They're usually appointed directly.
Inappropriate and disrespectful behaviour by certain senior Fine Gael ministers.
Due to the sloppiness of some of my answers, we're back here again.
Fine Gael ministers who behaved in a cavalier way, whether by leaking information out of cabinet or deleting records.
I do not believe this is an issue that merits the removal of a minister.
The idea that this is a problem for Fine Gael, that Micheál Martin can wash his hands of it, is totally unacceptable.
Would you describe that as cronyism?
Yes.
Would you describe what happened as lobbying?
Well, sometimes it's clear what happened.
Your critical intervention at that stage following lobbying was instrumental in terms of getting this over the line. Would I be right in saying that?
No, you wouldn't, Deputy, and you're trying to infer a whole series of political charges there.
Are you concerned about the Sinn Féin potential no confidence motion in you?
Yeah, I've no comment to make on that matter.
Does the Taoiseach have the authority to sack a Fine Gael minister?
I couldn't answer that definitively.
Does the buck not stop with the Taoiseach?
In coalition governments, one party doesn't tell another party who they can and cannot have at the cabinet table.
Could you sack Simon Coveney and why didn't you?
I'm more than well aware of my authority as Taoiseach.
And what about not informing you?
That was wrong. I've made that point.
And nothing happens about it.
Well, they've apologised.
Everyone gets replaced there.
What's your timeline on that?
I think that we should begin that process now. Crawling back to you.
God, what a week. What a week. Thanks to the team for putting that together. Éan O'Riordan, can I start with you? Your party is going to support the motion of no confidence in Simon Coveney. Is that right?
Yeah, we are.
So first week back, you want the government to fall because that could be the consequence of this.
Well, it's not. It's a motion's been put down on confidence in the government, and we're an opposition party and we don't have confidence in the government and we don't have confidence in how this issue has been handled. We would have done something else. As Brendan Helen said yesterday, we wanted Simon Coveney to make a statement to the Dáil and to answer questions on this because we feel that's the appropriate next step. But the motion's been put down and we'll be supporting the motion with no comments. I think it's fair to say that, look, I think this has been very poorly handled. I think if Simon Coveney had come out earlier and put his hands up and said, look, I made a bags of this, I apologise completely, not just for not telling his cabinet members, but for the entirety of the process, we might have been able to find a way out of it. But it's a manner in which it's been handled, and this in conjunction with other matters that have happened in terms of appointments, in terms of Seamus Wolfe, and also the leaking issue of the consultants' contract in general. There's a lot of problems at the cabinet table and this is just one of them.
Okay, and Colin Brophy, your party's facing this motion of no confidence in Simon Coveney next week. Like, you'll have another round now of political sparring, of discomfort, at the least for your coalition partner Fianna Fáil, and a battle ahead for Simon Coveney. On all of this is your own fault, really, isn't it? Because as Éan says, it's down to the handling of this matter from the get-go.
I feel very sorry for Éan here this morning and for the Labour Party. I mean, I don't believe they think Simon Coveney should resign. I don't actually believe that Sinn Féin thinks Simon Coveney should resign. But what you see, unfortunately, from opposition political parties now, and it's been much as stated here this morning, is that the populist stunt wins out over real politics, wins out over real what we should be talking about.
So you're saying Labour has to play ball with this?
Oh, Labour.
Because
we had a declaration there that Labour effectively don't think it's the right thing to do particularly, but we're getting aboard because this is populist politics. And instead of talking about getting people back to work, instead of talking about housing, instead of talking about tackling how we're coming out of this pandemic, what we're going to have is this political stunt by the Sinn Féin Party, support supported now by Labour. And I think that's really disappointing, because when you actually look at the totality of Simon Coveney's contribution to Irish politics, the work he's done on Brexit, which I think is universally praised.
You'll have plenty of time nobody to believe, say all
nobody
of that
believes
in,
that
during
Simon
the discussion
Coveney
of this motion.
Should be
but
forced
I just
out of office by a populist stump by the Sinn Féin
party. Will you reply to that charge, that you're engaging in populism because you have to compete with Sinn Féin?
I don't need the Minister for Defending the Indefensible, Colin Brophy, to feel sorry for me or to feel sorry for the Labour Party. What Fine Gael need to understand is that there's many people in Irish society who don't have access to text messages, conversations with cabinet ministers, who don't get documents sent to them, who don't get jobs they don't have to go through proper process with. And I think if you understood that, you wouldn't be in this mess.
Did you not say yourself, or did I not mishear you, that you didn't think originally as a party that this was the right way to go, but you're going with it now because
there's a motion put down.
You're playing the game of populist politics.
No, Colin.
I don't mind you being honest about it. Just be honest. You were honest at the
there's
start.
There's a motion put down in Simon Coveney, and as an opposition party, we don't have a confidence in the government, and we'll be voting with the motion of no confidence. But let's be clear here. What you're trying to do is to blame others for your own misdeeds.
But you
Simon
know Simon
Coveney, Simon Coveney
well,
has
you
made
know it well.
Simon Coveney has made a bag of this. It's his own fault. It's your collective fault as government, and it's your collective fault as government, and particularly you as a party, that we have this mess that we're talking about, rather than the other issues.
But sorry, let's be realistic about this here for a second. We've heard from Minister Coveney, who's fully acknowledged that there was a really, really bad set of decisions made around this, that it was handled really badly. It's not going ahead now. The Taoiseach has acknowledged that. The Minister has apologised. He's apologised. He's gone back into a committee on two occasions. He's used the correct Oireachtas process. So what we have now is we have a situation where we know what happened due to the Minister's appearance at the committee. But we have now a situation where we're into the politics of stunt politics, basically, for the sake of Sinn Féin promotion themselves.
I want to bring in Brenda Power into this conversation. Where do you stand on this? Is this a proper order or is it populism?
I think Sinn Féin had no option but to bring this motion, having rattled the sabres about it over the past week or so. And as Colm says, I don't think Labour have any option but to support it. I do believe, though, that the public are getting extremely tired of this, and now we are looking at another week at least of this storm in a teacup, and absolutely no question that Fine Gael made a complete and utter bags of this. And when, you know, Simon Coveney used the word sloppy, that's the kindest description of the way this was handled. There are still a lot of unanswered questions for sure. I'm not convinced that the public is sufficiently exercised about those. I think people have made up their minds, having seen the text exchange between Catherine Zappone and the Minister, exactly what went on, whatever Fine Gael tries to tell us about who understood what and what missignals that Ms Zappone might have read. I think people know exactly what went on, but whether there is public tolerance for a vote of no confidence at this time, given, for example, as you mentioned, Claire, you know, the huge disquiet over education, particularly in response to the Leaving Cert results last week and the CAO offers, that people have more on their minds right now.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about those issues in a moment, but you mentioned Catherine Zappone. We haven't heard from her. Do you think we should?
Well, I think the only person who can put this matter to bed once and for all is our sort of putative envoy on freedom of expression and freedom of opinion. If she was to come forward and say, look, hands up, I got the wrong end of the stick. You know, I jumped the gun a little bit when I sent that text thanking the Minister for a wonderful opportunity and asking when I would start in a job that, in hindsight, I hadn't actually been offered. That would draw a line under it. And, you know, given the clear friendships that she has within Fine Gael, it is baffling that she hasn't come forward to clarify that once and for all.
I mean, that's might not be what she's going to say. That's what Simon Coveney reckons she might say. Elaine, what's your take on this? Like, when we have a motion of no confidence in a minister, invariably the vote will go their way unless something very unusual happens. We'll have ministers, we'll have people like Colin Brophy standing up saying what a great fellow Simon Coveney is. Does that end up bolstering the person in question?
It should do, but given the makeup of the government now, it'll be interesting, and we will have in the coming days, and I'm sure my colleagues who are down in Cavan at the Fianna Fáil Thinking will be trying to get the opinion of every single backbencher there as to what way they might vote. Are they, you know, on the fence still, like John McGuinness was with you earlier, Claire? So we're just going to have a lot of talk about this. And I think Colin made the point that it's really political point scoring and it's all about political games. But really, Fine Gael are to blame for this because they lobbed the ball into the pitch and are allowing the opposition play this game right the way through the summer. Myself and I think a lot of my colleagues in Leinster House thought that yes, it was a political controversy. It was very embarrassing for Fine Gael when this was initially leaked under controversial circumstances from Cabinet in late July. But those around Leinster House would have thought this would have been well done and dusted by September, and that Fine Gael and the broader government were very fortunate that this controversy was emerging right as politicians were going on their summer break, and that we would have the breathing space to get over it over the summer, and we'd be on to whether it's the housing crisis, whether it's school kids being sent away from the classroom because of COVID. It would be a different agenda that would be, we would be coming back to.
Yeah, Claire, sorry, I just want to come in there. I think Elaine's absolutely right. I mean, this had all the hallmarks of a juicy, delicious, distracting, silly season story that should have blown over by the end of August. And the fact that it didn't is entirely the fault of the Fine Gael party.
Colm?
Well, I mean, I just don't accept that. I mean, the reality is this, that we as a party can't stop what other political parties do. We've heard here from one political party this morning. We've heard from Sinn Féin. I mean, if you actually look at just how much game playing and role playing there is, Sinn Féin go into a committee and they say at the committee, oh, well, let's hear from the minister. Then I think it was one day later, they say, we haven't made up our mind on a motion of no confidence. The next day, they say, Mary Lou comes out to say, well, let's, we're Micheál must a thing. And then a day later, they say, let's have a motion of no confidence. So what they did very cynically there was they played the media literally for four straight days. The media bought it hook, line and sinker. Sinn Féin assembled their special active service unit of Ón Oibrín and Piers Doherty and Matt Carthy, and they put them out there. And their job is to go for a political head every time.
Yes,
that's the new type of politics which we operate in.
Sorry, Claire, I'm just making a list here of the people whose fault this is. So
it's very important.
With my Pian Louis, I have my list here.
Give us your list.
It's the Labour Party's fault. It's Sinn Féin's fault. It's the media's fault. But it's not Fine Gael's fault.
I didn't say that.
You did say it was the media's fault.
No, I didn't.
You did say it was media's fault.
Aon, please, if you're going to try and quote me, try and
do it
right. What I actually said was that the media took the hook, line and sinker of what Sinn Féin
did. In fairness, though, Colm, you talk about Sinn Féin, though, playing this game. Like, there wouldn't be a game to play if Fine Gael didn't lob the ball in, as Elaine said.
But Mr. Coveney has already made it quite clear twice before a committee, apologised for what's happened, made it absolutely clear that we're now going to change the process for appointment of special envoy.
I think once before a committee. I think the first time you can write that off.
I think what you have, therefore, is, I believe, what you should have, which is a very clear, simple situation where a minister apologises in the correct format before the committee.
He also had a car crash into you on the radio.
And says that that was inappropriate.
Elaine, but you
can't control
what
opposition parties do.
I want to pick up on what Colin had said there, because I probably would agree with him when he says that Sinn Féin have been playing the media over the past couple of days. Again, they've been given the opportunity to do that. But equally, we've had this drip feed from Fine Gael right the way across the summer, whether it was Simon Coveney coming on the news at one. We then had the release of texts from Leo Varadkar. We had the massive tranche of documents released recently from Simon Coveney. And then we have Simon Coveney again having to come before an Oireachtas committee, not once, but twice. So, in essence, it was kept alive essentially by Fine Gael and Fine Gael ministers.
And there were mistakes made by Fine Gael in relation to this, and by Minister Coveney, he has admitted that himself, and we should all learn from it.
Right.
But the consequence of what we're just asking for here, remember, is, I believe, one of our country's best ministers head on a plate for making a mistake, and that surely is not a proportionate response.
All right, I want to talk, Brenda, for a moment about Fianna Fáil. John McGuinness earlier on in the programme saying it's time to pass on the baton, so he thinks it's time for Micheál Martin to go. Do you think there's an obvious person to take over?
I think an obvious person thinks that an obvious person is the obvious person to take over. My feeling from what I've read about the what emerged from the thinking was that they just don't have the numbers to unseat Micheál Martin at the moment, and that there's no great enthusiasm for more internecine rowing and arguing. They've been wounded, and they know they have. And I think Sean Fleming's report really hammered home the difficulties that they face coming into the next election. But I see Micheál Martin being quite bullish about his leadership, and he is going to lead the party into the next election, and he's going to be there to hand over the Taoiseach's office next December 12 months to Leo Varadkar. But I think if they had the numbers, now is the time to act, and I don't believe that they do.
Elaine, it's a strange time to have this conversation when the leader of the Fianna Fáil party is the Taoiseach and will be the Taoiseach. So the loss will be great if something goes wrong, if there's a takeover. The prize is great too, though, for those people who would like to take over.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's coming at a time when Fine Gael have been at between 12 and 15%
Fianna Fáil,
between 12 and 15% in the polls. So any future leader would probably want to take over and be able to gain a bit of momentum. They don't want to be sitting around that level in the polls going into any general election. Now, some would say that there is a natural break when Fianna Fáil are due to give over the mantle of Taoiseach to Fine Gael, and that could be the right time to hand over the leadership from Fianna Fáil to whoever that may be, whether it's Jim O'Callaghan, Michael McGrath, Derek Leary. There are a lot of names spinning around. All male at the moment, and perhaps it's a completely different name that Fianna Fáil need. Perhaps it's a female, a younger name, if they really want to regain their identity and reach out to the younger cohort that was mentioned in that Fleming report.
Brenda, did you want to come back in there on that?
Yeah, I just think that sort of kind of populist, if you like, strategising doesn't necessarily work either, and simply putting a token woman, unless there is a woman. I mean, I heard Lisa Chambers, for instance, being very, very effective and articulate on the radio during the week. I'm not sure that there is a woman who is, well, I suppose, in the running or seen as being in the running at the moment, unfortunately.
And does that not say a lot about the position that Fianna Fáil currently is in?
Yeah.
Eoin, the Social Democrats, they have their thinking coming up as well. Question on everybody's lips is whether there'll be a merger. Do you think it's fair to say that the Labour Party is more open to that than the Soc Dems right now?
Well, if I just might just on just Fianna Fáil for a second, because there is something slightly tedious about the Fianna Fáil lads coming on the radio and talking about Fianna Fáil, and they are a party in government with some very important ministries, health, education and public expenditure, and they spent, was it 7 hours last night talking about Fianna Fáil and the election that they had last year? I think the people
entitled
of Ireland,
to do that.
They are entitled to do that, but to be honest, I think most people in fairness would like a party of government with those senior ministries to be talking about health, education and the issues
which
that the country
doing, which they're doing today.
Well, they spent 7 hours talking about last year's election last night. On the Labour Party, we're having our thinking on Monday. We're going to a tie, which is Mark Wall's stomping ground, and we're having our discussions on Monday and Tuesday, and most of that will be on cost of living. I'm making a presentation on rural and regional towns, and we'll also be discussing drug policy and education policy, so something we're looking forward to.
Sounds great. What about the Soc Dems?
Well, you see, you know, whenever we have a thinking, we're asked about the Soc Dems, and whenever the Soc Dems have a thinking, they're asked about us. We are two parties at the centre-left. We believe in an awful lot of the same things. But what I want to achieve, and I think the Soc Dems want to achieve as well, is that in the future, we could have a centre-left led government. I think that's what we should all be working towards.
Together.
Well,
both parties coming together.
I don't see it in the short term. But again, it's the reason why people join political parties is because of values and because of things they want to implement for people. The tag or the label that goes with that value system, you know, isn't as important as the values that you have.
But would you agree that you share values with the Soc Dems?
Yeah, of course we do. And we share values, centre-left values with the Green Party as well. Mm. To me, what a lot of people get tired of is the game. And what people are more interested in is the substantive thing. And I would agree with Colm on one point. What we'll have on Wednesday night in terms of the no-confidence motion will be a lot of game playing.
Okay.
And I think we should be talking about more substantive issues.
We mentioned earlier on schools, COVID, people being asked to isolate when they're close contacts. I think we had up to 16,000 children out of school because they're restricting their movements, although the numbers were somewhat changed later on in the week. It's a very confusing and frustrating time for parents, Colm. Do you think we should have some clarity around this? It was suggested here that perhaps people could be excluded until they have a negative test at 5 days, then another test in a few days' time. But it would mean that you'd be shortening that time that you're out.
Yeah, I personally would hope that the department would look at how we can tackle this now. The It's good, first of all, let's say the most important thing. It's good that we got our schools back and we got our schools open against a backdrop where a lot of politicians who I sat in the studio with over the summer said that would not even happen. It's managing it now in the context of how we're going to do that with record vaccination rates for the adult population and how we're going to handle children then in schools. And I think I know the minister has been working on this, and I think that there will be in the near future, I would hope, some looking at how you would shorten the process in some way so as that you wouldn't have this extended period of time where children are out of school because of close contact. But that has to be done, and it's the reason why you can't instantly do things when you're in government, but you can instantly tweet when you're the opposition spokesperson, because you have to do that in conjunction with the best advice from the public health officials, mm-hmm. the best advice from the people within education yeah. itself.
That's a dig at Aon there, is it?
Well, Aon instantly tweets on most things. So I think it is, though, far more important that the minister responds in a way that addresses the concerns of parents, teachers, and obviously the safety of children, and that ties to public health advice.
I have, and I think other people in opposition have been working very hard not to heighten tension or anxiety as schools reopened. You won't have found me saying anything over the summer that was questioning school reopening, and you wouldn't have found me saying anything when schools were open, because I want schools to stay open. I think we agree on that. The problem is it's not working. The problem is I spoke to a principal this morning who had a case on Tuesday and still hasn't heard anything from the HSC. Whatever was working in May isn't working now. The public health teams are not working with schools. And the phone line with the minister told us the other day was working, isn't working. And there's principals in contact with me now who have never made contact with me before, because they're now grappling to get in touch with their TDs and people they feel might have influence, because the system has, in their eyes, collapsed. So we can't have 16,000 students outside the system. It just isn't sustainable. So what I asked for the minister to do was to come for a special meeting of the Education Committee today. That wasn't able to happen. We're having an education meeting next week. She's not coming to that either. She's going to come to the Education Committee on the 21st of September. Lord knows how many students are going to be out of the system by that date if things aren't changed radically. What happened before, Claire, just to explain, there's a case, the GP goes in touch with the public health team, the public health team go in touch with the school, and collectively they decide the number of close contacts. That essential relationship between the public health team and the school is now broken. It's now mm-hmm. gone, and there's days going by.
Is that because of the level of cases?
It must be, but what I would have liked this week was to know that the minister was all over this, and that Stephen Donnelly was all over this, and there was a sense of emergency about it. There'd been a massive sense of complacency that everything's fine, everything's opening up, the schools are fine. But now we have, as you say, 16,000 students, and I can only imagine that's going to rise. Mm-hmm. So something has to give. We even need more resources, then stick in more resources, but don't tell us everything is fine.
Okay, Abigail Collins, the HSE public health lead, Elaine, for schools, she was saying that principals shouldn't jump the gun. Children don't have to be removed immediately from school if another pupil tests positive for COVID-19. The visit by public health team, she said, could happen within 4 to 7 days, which would fit with the example, Aon, that you outlined there. But does that not go against everything that we know about COVID, acting fast?
It does, but we do need to give a bit of space and time. I think we'll have a clearer idea of the positivity rates next week, and more importantly the transmissibility amongst children, and I think that's what NPHET are saying right now. Okay. Positivity rates right now are actually going down amongst school children, even though the numbers being tested has spiralled in the past few days. Yes, so that has to be encouraging. Okay.
I just want to move on, Brenda, to something that you mentioned earlier on. Liveline flooded with calls this week from parents and disappointed students about this grade inflation issue, and the fact that some people got over the amount of points that they needed for their first choice, but they're not getting the courses because there's so many people in the system now with high grades.
I know. I mean, it seemed like the right solution at the time, and I'm sure it was. I have had a Leaving Cert student myself this year, so I was right up at the coalface of the stress and the uncertainty for the first few months of the year when nobody knew exactly how the exam was going to be conducted. So it did take a lot of pressure off when students knew that they could opt for the grade or sit the exam. It does seem to have led to a right royal mess, though, in terms of the level of grade inflation this year. I mean, there were courses that went up by 100, 110 points. And you know, that cannot continue. It simply cannot be sustained. We can't continue to devalue leaving cert points as if they were the Colombian peso, or else in a couple of years you're going to need 600 points to do a first aid course. So what's going to have to happen next year is there is going to have to be some readjustment, whether a dumbing, smartening up or a dumbing down or whatever is required to bring down the level of points again. Yeah, that's going to be very, very difficult on next year's students, because they're going to be up against the 2021 cohort with the ones who choose to defer, as lots will, because they didn't get the courses they want, and they'll be coming with their bouquet of H1s up against people possibly more qualified going for the same courses with more moderate scores next year.
We had Professor Mark Rogers from UCD on here saying that the system is unsustainable. What's the fix though, Conroy?
Well, I don't know exactly what the fix is, but I know that Minister Harris has indicated that there needs to be a look at how you set about looking at that process, and looking at the process of the Leaving Cert, looking at the process of the direct link to the CAO, and is that the best system that we can have? And he was citing, I heard in his 6-1 comments that he did the other day, that, you know, we now have, because of COVID, we have experience of running traditional Leaving Cert linked to CAO, non-traditional Leaving Cert, and this hybrid model we have this year.
I'm almost take out that of time, but Ian, I want to give you a couple of seconds to respond to that. Can you easy fix here?
No, but we need a new Leaving Cert. It's a fantastic historical opportunity now to change Leaving Cert for good. We did ask for a review into what happened in 2020, an independent review that was agreed to by the Minister, but we haven't seen it, hasn't been completed, it hasn't been published. That could have helped us preempt some of the difficulties we had this year. But I think collectively across politics, we need to grab this now and change Leaving Cert for good, because it is broken, it's not working, and we can change it for the better.
Okay, I want to thank you all for coming in. Colin Brophy, Elaine Loughlin, Eoin Reardon and Brenda Power. And just to bring you the headlines, Taoiseach has said he expects all Fianna Fáil TDs to vote against a Sinn Féin motion of no confidence in the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. The EU's Brexit negotiator has said the European Union will not renegotiate the deal struck with Britain regarding the trading position in Northern Ireland, as to do so would only lead to instability and uncertainty. We'll take a break.
Today with Clareburn. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.